Blog Talk Radio.
Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia.
And now,
here to motivate, excite, and influence you,
Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the world wide web. Hey, guys. Hey, dolls. Hey, gents. Thank you so much for checking us out here for another phenomenal show. I'm really excited to have all of our listeners that are tuning in. Listen, come on in. Y'all are coming in from Facebook and Twitter and Charvette.com and our mobile app and all of our broadcast stations. We love you guys. We appreciate you for checking us out here every single week with this phenomenal talk show. If I say so myself, you know what? Listen, you got to toot your own horn. You got to pat your own self on the back. And that's what we're doing today. But listen, let me tell you of the guests that we have today. So my first guest is actually hanging out in the virtual green room right now, just ready to come up to the mic. We're going to be talking to author Teresa B. Howell. I am telling you what, listen, she is an exceptional children's director. She has two master's degrees in education and leadership. She has received numerous awards and accolades in her profession. She's dedicated really to mentoring and teaching students within the school system. But listen, she was born and raised in the church, y'all. And about a year ago, she decided to put together a novel, her first novel called That Church Life. And so, you know, she's seen some things, she's heard some things, and we're going to find out all about it. What's going on in That Church Life? I'm telling you what, you don't want to miss it. But then listen, you want to hang around for our second segment, because I'm really excited about our second segment as well. We have another author, but listen, Robin M. Sample is joining us. Robin is an author. She's a motivational speaker. She's a sexual assault and domestic violence victim advocate. She's a community health outreach worker, a missionary and visionary. She is a lover of education as well. She's a two-time college graduate with an AAS degree in paralegal studies from Chesapeake College and a BA degree in psychology. But guess what? She wrote a book. She started writing years ago, journaling, and that gave birth to her first book called When I Stopped Being Angry with God. When I Stopped Being Angry with God. Oh, wow. So you know that's going to be deep. We got to hear all about it. And that's coming up in our second segment with Robin M. Sample. So listen, we're ready to jump right on in to our first segment. Hello, welcome. Hey, Miss Queenie, that's hanging out in the chat room already. We're glad to have you coming on in. And we want you to go ahead and tweet it out. We want you to go ahead and Instagram it out and tell them what you're listening to. Tell them, go ahead and tune in to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. All right, so let's move right on into our first segment. Again, I'm bringing up to the mic Teresa B. Howell. I'm telling you what, That Church Life. Listen, this book has three characters. I want to hear all about them. Natalie Freeman, Missy Jones, and Melissa Hanks. Three best friends, church gals, but you know it's going to be some more stuff going on when you talk about That Church Life. So go ahead, listeners, put your virtual hands together and welcome Teresa Howell up to the mic. Hello, Teresa. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How you doing?
I am awesome. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Glad to be on your show. Yay!
Yay! Glad to have you here. Oh, wow. So let's jump in. You know what? I'm telling you, I know growing up in the church, seen a lot, heard a lot. It's a whole lot of stuff going on. But talk to us about what was the catalyst that said, okay, I want to actually write a book. I want to write a novel about That Church Life. What was that catalyst that made you do that?
Well, I've been in the church all my life, and I've seen a lot of things. And, boy, I tell you, this church is good, but there's always just a touch of drama. I added a little bit of the drama along with a little bit of the gearing towards these characters of their personal lives and their problems and put it all together into this suspense novel that everybody seems to be enjoying so far. So,
wow. Now, that's how it came about. Are there characters in the novel that you personally know? Any disclaimers you need to give out? Any of that?
No. It's a combination of people, though. But no disclaimers right now.
Okay. So those of you that may be listening in and you're like, I know Teresa, and this character sounds too close to me. Listen, it's not about you. It's not all about you. But if the shoe fit, wear it, as they say. If the shoe fit, wear it.
Exactly.
All right, so did you always know that you would write a novel? Are you just inclined to writing?
No, I didn't know that I was going to write a novel. Maybe about 2 years ago, my grandmother passed, and my mother-in-law, who is also my pastor, has suggested that, just start writing. Write down how you feel. Write down what's going on with you. And I had been writing songs and little poems and things throughout the years, but never really took it seriously until then. And when I tell you it flowed, it just flowed. It came out on that paper, and it was amazing. So I was like, okay, maybe I can do this again. So that's how it all got started.
All right. So let's set the stage and whet the appetite of those that are listening. And so the story is set certainly in a very interesting setting and centered a lot around Mount Zion Holiness Church, which is, of course, in the novel, not an actual, this is not about an actual church, listeners, but in the novel, in Mount Zion Holiness Church. Describe, the town, the atmosphere of this church and the general setting of where this story unfolds.
Okay, so the general setting is, it starts in Durham, North Carolina, which is where I reside currently, and it basically just sets the platform for how Durham used to look back in the day with certain, it was known for tobacco and cigarette companies and things of that nature, so it kind of sets the tone of the type of workers and the things that they did back in the 70s or late 80s. And these girls are kind of going back and forth. They're reminiscing from back then till now and kind of making comparisons on how Durham has changed. But in the meantime, with the church life, the church has also changed in so many respects in the book. So it shows how the girls used to be in church versus how church is currently. So their current church is a mega church. The main character, Missy, she's a televangelist, and she is the pastor's daughter. So she's definitely trying to keep it going for traditional sake, but that's not how she was raised. She was raised in the old-time church where things were a little different. So it goes back and forth talking about the different ways of how we used to praise God versus now, and the setting of the South versus up North and things of that nature. So,
wow. Okay. And so let's talk about each of the three church gals and just talk about their, I'd love to hear about their personality and all of that. So let's start with Natalie Freeman, who's one of the girls. Just describe her personality.
Okay, we pronounce it Natalia. That's how it, her name is in the book. Natalia is the feisty one. She is the rebel. She grew up, she really didn't like going to church, but she was forced to go by her parents. And when she grew up, she ran as far as she could from the church house. When she comes back together with her friends, she's trying to figure out, why we got to sit through all these services. What is this about? Can't we just praise God at the house? And she's, putting up a fight throughout the whole book. She doesn't bite her tongue. She's always popping her gum, and she wants you to know that she her presence is there. A lot of people like her character because she is so feisty and mouthy, so people get a kick out of her. So that's Natalia.
All right, that's Natalia. And so let's talk about Michelle Hanks and her kind of take on life and personality.
Okay, Michelle Hanks is the passive one. She's kind of, you know, she just goes with the flow. She does whatever she's told. She's trying to follow the rules. Some things happen to her in the book that I can't tell you because I'm going to give away the story, but some things happen to her that kind of make her really reserved and to herself. She's a musician. She's very talented, but she doesn't say much. She just kind of brushes things off. So that's her personality. In the book, she's a real advocate for Missy. She's very overprotective of Missy, and she doesn't want anything to happen to her. So she's always there by her side, kind of coaching her along through this church process.
Which is a great segue to the third and last of the best friend trio here, Missy Jones. Tell us about Missy Jones.
Missy is the preacher's kid. She's, again, trying to get the church to stay afloat. She's young, she's vibrant, and she's bringing in the members. However, Missy is in love with the organist, and he is really a hot mess. He is just someone that keeps up a lot of drama in the church, but she just can't get away from him. And so she takes a journey dealing with him, trying to break free from him, trying to date other people. She keeps coming back to him. She ends up going through some abuse with this particular boyfriend, and it's just a lot of things that happen with him. And in the end, all three friends, along with the preacher, the father of the church, a couple other characters come together, and somebody gets murdered in the pastor's study.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay, and so I could imagine, so there's a lot going on. I can imagine people kind of picking up the book saying, okay, there's a lot going on. But listen, I actually jumped over to Amazon.com. Listeners, you all know I like to do this. I like to jump over and see what people are saying about the book. And actually, there's some great reviews on Amazon.com. One reviewer, Miss Queenie, which I don't know if that's the same Miss Queenie that's in the chat room, but if it is, hello. And her comment on Amazon is, this book, that church life is a page turner that I was holding on to every word. The first chapter had me drawn in. It has a lot going on to keep you interested and on your toes. And then they go on to say other things. 5-star review. Another reviewer says, this is Pamela, if you are into Christian fiction, then this book is for you. It's a very refreshing change from the street life novels that I usually read. I was drawn into the story from the very first chapter. Oh my goodness. And then the last one I want to cite is a gentleman, actually, Scott from Amazon. He wrote, wow, this is the first time I will be reading a church novel. It is it's an amazing story about three church girls. I really enjoyed reading this church themed book. The characters were well played, and the author did a great job with that. The girls lost their faith, but you know, they came back around. And one major thing I loved is that she was realistic. The story was realistic. So what great reviews. How does it feel when you hear people writing those type of comments about your work?
Yeah. Every time someone puts a review, I'm shocked because I'm like, wow, is that me? You know, like, did I write that? But it's an amazing ride. It's really surreal for me to actually have published a book, more or less getting good reviews. So I'm just blessed and even more blessed.
Oh, wow. And I have confirmation from the chat room that Miss Queenie, who's hanging out in the chat room, that was her actual comment from Amazon. So awesome, awesome, awesome. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Okay. And so with the themes that you've decided to address in the book. Have you had any people who felt like, that's a little too tricky or a little too risque to deal with?
Not yet. Not yet, because I think they were so surprised to see it coming at the end. And then there's like a be continued, so they're looking to know. They want to know what's going to happen to Missy. They don't really know if the person is really deceased, because the way the book started off, you thought that this person had died in the beginning. It just keeps your mind twirling from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 24. I mean, I'm just amazed at myself.
That's God inspired. That's God. And I hear a lot of authors kind of say once they write things out and write out the story, then they look back at it and like, wow, when did I write that? And that all came from me. And oh my goodness.
Nothing but God.
And so were there those that helped you along this journey of, putting this novel together? Any help that you want to shout out?
Where are you going? What are you doing? But I just had, when it comes to mind, I had to put it on paper. So I want to give a shout out to my family. I want to give a shout out to my mother-in-law, Pastor Rose C. Howell. She is the reason why it all began. She gave some good advice. And I want to give a shout out to all my beta readers out there who helped me edit the book and go through this process. Katrina Breyer, she's my editor. I got a couple of promoters, Honeybee Promotions and Ashlyn Price and Deja, and just so many people that are like helping me to press forward. Vivian, she's my PR person. So, yeah, I've been getting a lot of help with this.
It's been amazing. And so are there themes in the book that you really want the reader to walk away with? Because it's great that feedback came on Amazon about a gentleman who says he doesn't normally read books that are either about the church or deal with the church. And another reviewer said they usually read kind of like the street fiction. So it sounds like it's a story that it's not just for those that may be saved and are Christians. It sounds like it can be universal.
Yeah, it is. And I'm really shocked by the amount of men that are starting to read it. I was a little worried about that at first. I was like, I hope this doesn't turn into like chick lit. But really, there's been a lot of men. Like, my husband had someone he used to work with that gave me a shout out on Facebook about how good it was. And I'm like, wow, men are reading this book? So, that was awesome. So I'm glad that the men are coming aboard to kind of read what's going on in that church life.
You know what? That is a real testament, because that's a real, real, real testament. Because I'm sure when you were writing it, usually, you have kind of like, okay, this is my target reader, this is my ideal reader in mind. And so you were probably writing it, thinking maybe more females are going to read this.
I really did. But I'm glad. Hey, men, I invite you. I encourage you to go to Amazon and get you some more books.
Get you some more. Buy one for yourself and your girlfriend, your auntie, your mama, all of them, your cousins, all of them. Let's go pick up the book. And so Amazon is where you guys can pick the book up. That Church Life, can they purchase the book anywhere else?
Yes, you can go on my website, TeresaBHowell.com. I have a Facebook author page that also has a link under Teresa B. Howell. They can go to Twitter, at Teresa WIV, and Barnes & Noble has it print on demand. Books A Million has it print on demand. And I'm trying to think of where else I have it. You can go on Instagram, Teresa B. Howell 1. So there's several locations to get the book.
All right. There is your personal invitation to pick it up, listeners. And if you're hanging out on Charvette.com, I have the full bio information there for Teresa. And I've also tagged her on Twitter. So if you're following me on Twitter, that's the easy connection point, Twitter.com/Charvette. Also tagged her, her like page and business page on Facebook. So if you're hanging out with me on Facebook, Facebook.com/Charvette.
will be an easy connection point there to go like the page, follow, so you can know what's going on in her world. I know you have a lot of events and things coming up, so I want to touch on that. But I want to, the listeners, how the book opens up, since so many of the reviewers kind of said, you know, the first chapter grabbed my attention, snagged my attention. Can you talk a little bit about kind of like that first chapter, even if we don't want to give it all away, but just that first, how it opens up, that's really, you know, grabbing people's attention?
Okay. So Missy is on the run. She has, there's a scene where something has happened at the church, and she's running for her life because she thinks that she's going to be accused of something. So, and I can't say what all the something is. I'm trying to talk in code.
Right, right. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. But she, she's running. She's got blood smeared all over her. You know, she runs Ooh. Into this neighborhood. You know, she's a little delirious. People are trying to figure out, you know, what's wrong with this girl. We've seen her on TV. We know that's Missy Jones. You know, why is the televangelist running down the street, you know, screaming, asking God to forgive her for her sins? So everybody wants to know what happened. So the first chapter, they're like hooked because they want to know, why is this girl running? Who is she running from? And what did she do that was so bad that it has her terrorized like this? So if you think that you're going to open the book up at 12 o'clock and just read two pages, it's not so.
You're going to be binge reading. You're going to be binge reading.
So open the book up after dinner so that way you get some sleep. Don't do it late at night because you will be hooked.
You're going to be binge reading, like they binge watch, you know, Orange is the New Black and all of the, you know, Power and all of that y'all watch on Netflix and Hulu and all of that, where you just sit down and be like, I gotta see one more episode. So you're going to be like, I got to read one more chapter.
People been going all the way up to chapter 14 and then they call me and they're like, why didn't you tell me it was going to have all this? I'm like, look, I didn't tell you to start reading at 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, that's on you.
Right. Fair warning. Start after dinner. Fair warning. But that's good. Big shout out to author and book marketing coach, author LaTanya Boyd. She said, oh, she's in Facebook saying, oh my, a must read, Teresa B. Howell. So you got to pick it up. And check it out there. So I know you have a lot going on. What are some of your upcoming events? Where are you going to be hanging out? So that listeners, we have listeners all over, so just let us know where you're going to be.
Oh, gosh, there's so many things going on. It all, like, hit me at once.
Wow.
I just had a signing at Barnes & Noble in Durham last Friday. Let me see, this is July. August, I'm going to be in Virginia, and I'm going to be on the Good Morning Richmond show on the 17th.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes.
So I have to meet you.
That's in Richmond. Yeah, that's in Richmond, and that's a good. Oh, that's really good exposure. Okay, awesome.
Yeah, and I'm going to that Friday be in another Barnes and Noble on Broad Street. CEO Magazine is also coming out on the 18th while I'm at Barnes and Noble to film the whole event because they're doing an article on me in that magazine.
Wonderful.
This Sisters Summit is August 13th. That will be at the Raleigh Convention Center from 10 to 6, and I'll be selling books all day there. And then I'll be at Urban Moon Bookstore on August 27th, selling books from 12 to 3. And then I think I have another radio show that morning, and I can't remember the station's name. Forgive me for that. My promoter who did
right.
that one, sorry. But yeah, there's going to be another talk show that I'm going to be on that morning. So that's August. And then September is Boston and Charlotte. And then October is Atlanta and back to Charlotte again. So all yes,
right,
busy.
So you're going to have your roller skates on, but that is awesome, getting the word out about your novel. Wonderful, wonderful. So the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence, and we want to know what continues to motivate you.
I get motivated by being an educator, being a mentor, and really showing God's love to everyone. I think this book is reaching a lot of people, and it's reaching more people than I could have ever reached if I was in a pulpit or something like of that nature.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful that the word is getting out and that people are reading about the goodness of Jesus, because in the end, you know, Missy gets her faith back. She realizes she cannot do anything without God, and she's overcome some of the things that's going on in this book. So I'm just encouraged that people can overcome and do good things, and this is just an example of it. So I'm glad that I'm able to spread the gospel in another format.
Absolutely, and we applaud you for that, because that's what it's all about. Listeners, put your hands together. Yes, 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 virtual claps for our guest here. Thank you so much for stopping by the show, and we'll keep our eye out on you so we can definitely connect with you when you come through Richmond, Virginia.
Yay, I can't wait to meet you.
Yay, likewise, likewise. All right, phenomenal. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, listeners, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We don't want you to move not one ounce or iota, because when we come back, we're going to be talking to author Robin M. Sample. Listen, author, motivational speaker, sexual assault and domestic violence victim advocate, community health outreach worker. And she has a new book called When I Stopped Being Angry with God. And you have to hear all about it. So don't move. Thank you, Miss Queenie, for hanging out in the virtual chat room. One of the actual readers of the book, she says, open the book and read. So there you go. A live testament. All right. We're going to be right back after our quick commercial break. Don't move.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 Inspirational Quotes to Jumpstart Your Day by LaTanya Boyd, consists of inspirational messages that offer daily words of empowerment, promote spiritual growth and development in the Lord Jesus Christ for your day-to-day living. Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 Inspirational Quotes to Jumpstart Your Day, available now on Kindle, ebook, and paperback. Log on to www.latiboyd.com.
Does your church or ministry have a website? Are you a local artist or author that has an established web presence? If you answered no to any of these questions, you're letting countless opportunities pass you by. Hi, I'm Charvette Mitchell. Mitchell Productions was created with your needs in mind. We will provide you with stylish and economical online marketing solutions. From email marketing to your own website, Mitchell Productions caters to ministries, nonprofits, small businesses, and special events. Check out our portfolio at Mitchell-Productions.com. In today's world, a website is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And Mitchell Productions can create your website in a stylish manner at a very economical price. Don't let business, customers, or new congregation members pass you by. Visit Mitchell Productions today at www.Mitchell-Productions.com. Let us showcase your organization to the world.
Introducing contemporary gospel artist Deyami with the new hit debut single titled The Blood on Remare Records.
Oh, they slay me, crucify me. I have been washed in the blood, I'm reading.
Purchase Deyami's new hit single on iTunes, Amazon in February. Once again, be sure to check out contemporary gospel artist Deyami with the new hit debut single titled The Blood on Remare Records. Follow Deyami on Twitter, Facebook, by going online to DeyamiMusic.com. That's spelled DeyamiMusic.com. That's DeyamiMusic.com.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right. Welcome back to another segment of the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We're super excited to have all those that are on the phone lines. I can't leave you guys out. Thank you for all those that are hanging out on the phone lines with us here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Big shout out to all of those that are listening in from my Facebook community for female entrepreneurs. Hey, girl, hey. If you are a female entrepreneur, join me over on Facebook. Just look for Coaching with Vet, V-E-T-T-E. That's my nickname. Hashtag Coaching with Vet and join us in this awesome online community. And actually, our next guest is a part of the hashtag Coaching with Vet Facebook community. So we know we have some of our girls listening in. But welcome to all of those that are joining us from all across the World Wide Web. And they're coming in from Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Charvette.com, my mobile app, and, of course, our broadcast stations. Listen, we're ready right now to move right on into our next segment. Again, I'm excited to bring up to the mic Robin M. Sample. She is hanging out in the virtual green room, so I know she's enjoyed some virtual snacks while she's there. Listen, she's no stranger to writing. She began journaling really at a very young age, at a very, very early age, and that journaling actually gave birth to her first book, which she's here to talk about today, which is When I Stopped Being Angry with God. And I know you're saying, oh, wow, there is a lot in there, and we're going to talk all about it. But what I love that Robin says in her bio and in her information is that she knows and she believes that really everything that she has gone through was not just about her and not just only for her, but to help her lead others and be really a guidance and a help and empowerment for other people to say, hey, you can make it and you can come out. All right. All right. So we're running to the virtual green room to bring Robin M. Sample up to the mic right now on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Hello, Robin. Welcome. How are you?
Hello, I'm fine. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for joining us today on the show.
Thank you for having me. I am so excited to be on the show with you today. It's such an honor. Thank you.
Oh, you are welcome. You are welcome. So let's chat. So you started out, well, first of all, let me just acknowledge, and I mentioned earlier, certainly you're a lover of education, you know, with two degrees.
Yes.
Do you feel like you are a lifelong learner?
Yes, I actually do feel that way. I do have two degrees, and I'm actually working on my third one now, and I'm actually doing a master's degree program in social work. So, and that gives light to my love for education and my desire to keep on learning so that I can keep giving back to my community.
All right. I love that. And what do you think education does for someone? How does education help?
Well, actually, I think for me, it's made me a more well-rounded person. It's allowed me to see a lot of the world from different cultures, different diversities that I probably wouldn't have looked at if I had just stayed in my own space and not tried to broaden my own horizon. So it's done a lot for me. It's caused me to have some professional gains. It's caused me to go into some areas that I thought I'd never be welcomed into, especially the legal arena. So it's really done a lot for me. So I think education can open a lot of doors for people.
All right, there you have it. We certainly are supporters of education here at the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. And that's for, you know, oftentimes people just talk about that for those coming out of high school. But listen, education at any age bracket, any stage in life is good. It's good. It's good.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about all of the different types of really jobs you've been able to have that we call them jobs, but really like they're really all ministry, you know, opportunities that you've been able to have. Talk a little bit about kind of your career path.
Okay. Well, I started out working in a nursing home years ago, and I found out that wasn't for me. I always had a desire to help people, and I love being with people, especially the elderly. I work with Alzheimer's patients, and I really had a great love for that. But I wanted to do so much more, but I didn't want to go into nursing because there was so much about nursing that I didn't want to do. Needles, blood, that sort of thing, that just wasn't my thing. So I was thinking about my personality and what I really like to do. And I've always had a desire to talk. I've always had a desire to just advocate for people. So I thought about the legal system. So I went to Chesapeake College, and I worked on my paralegal degree program. So I started by working as a paralegal for a disability law firm. And after I did that, I wanted to go a little bit further. So I went into mental health, a PRP program, doing a day program and the home-based program as well. And then from there was when I went into the addictions program. And that's when I really felt like that was my calling, when I went into being an addictions counselor. So I did that for a while, and that led me to what I'm doing now, which is being a victim advocate for victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, child sexual abuse, and trauma.
My goodness. So you have definitely, all of that sounds like, you know, really ministry. You've been able to work, but then really impact lives in a practical ministry way, really is what I consider, consider you doing. And so I know that you have a lot that has happened to you personally, in your life, through your life. And so what started the journaling, that when you started doing that at a very young age, what started that journaling piece?
Well, basically I didn't feel like I had anybody to talk to. And that was because, I was shunned a lot when I was younger, in school especially, and on the playground, and Sunday school, and Brownie, Girl Scout troops. Everywhere I went, I was teased, I was bullied, because I didn't look like everybody else looked. I had nursing syndrome teeth, so my teeth were rotten in the front, and I was teased about that a lot. And I had some glasses that I wasn't particularly crazy about, and I was overweight, so I was bigger than most of the people that I played with. So those are things that aren't popular amongst children, unfortunately, and children do tend to bully each other over things, and I was bullied and teased for that. So a lot of times I was kind of ostracized. I wasn't chosen to play on different teams, if you know, in school and, you know, things like that, or on the playground. So I spent a lot of time by myself. So during that time by myself, I just started to write because I felt a lot of hurt and a lot of pain, and I didn't have anybody to share it with. So I just started writing. I got a spiral notebook, and I just started writing down what I felt, and it just, you know, carried on from day to day to day. And I didn't write every day, but it was like at least a couple of times a week I was writing in my journal about what I felt. And most of those times I was crying because I was really hurt as a child, and I didn't feel like I wanted to bother my parents. They were busy. They were raising three of us children, so I didn't want to go to them, and I just didn't feel like I had anybody to talk to. So journaling just made me have an outlet where I could get all those feelings and emotions out without having anybody ask me any questions or tell me that I was wrong for feeling what I was feeling or laugh at me or anything like that. So it felt safe for me to just journal.
Wow, a safe place, a safe place.
And so
at an early age, you were introduced to the church by way of your grandmother, Laura, and then in quotation, Bunch. Talk about, how was she your main influence of introducing you to God and to church when you were younger?
Yeah, she was, because we always had a ritual where we would go to her house on Sunday mornings. My mom and my sister and my brother, we would always go there because my grandma always cooked fried chicken every Sunday morning without fail. It didn't matter. She always had some fresh fried chicken. So I always wanted to go there to eat the chicken, and I didn't want to go to church. I mean, I started out going, but I was teased there. Most of the children that I saw at church, I always saw on the playground and at school. So I started making excuses as to why I didn't have to go. And my grandmother always said to me, you're going to need the Lord one day. And I'm thinking, what am I going to need the Lord for? Everywhere I go, I get teased. I get pushed down. I'm crying. I'm hurt. Everybody else seems to be happy. They're playing with each other, and nobody wants to play with me. So what am I going to need the Lord for? And we were singing these songs. Yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves all the little children. I'm like, I'm a child too, but he couldn't love me because if he loved me, he wouldn't have made me look like this, knowing that I was going to get teased and bullied and pushed down and things like that. The God that she loved, she always talked about how he loved us and took care of us and provided for us, and that didn't seem like what he was doing for me. So what she was talking about, I didn't see that happening in my life. And I adopted that thought process at a very young age. I just didn't see him doing that for me.
My goodness. And so then life goes on, and certainly, you know, middle school, teenage years, all of that. And then it's still, you know, battles with self-esteem, battles with self-confidence.
Yeah.
And so was that all just really an anger that was building up, a resentment towards God?
It was. It was, because I really started, I was questioning God a lot, because I remember my grandmother always saying, you're going to need the Lord one day, and she said, why don't you pray? And I didn't know how to pray. I would hear her pray, but she was using adult words. I was a child, so I didn't know how to pray. I didn't think I did anyway. I didn't know there was a right or wrong way. So I just started feeling this anger, like, God doesn't love me. He can't love me. Everywhere I went, I was treated the same way. So I just started feeling like I didn't want anything to do with church, not Sunday school, didn't want to hear anything about God, didn't want anybody singing those songs around me. So I just started just straying away from the church, and she allowed me to do that. She just, you know, she never forced me. She never made me go back. I stayed there with my grandfather. I got a little older, and, you know, as I got older, teenage years, you know, middle school, I was able to decide for myself whether I wanted to go to church or even go to my grandmother's house in the morning. So I started choosing other places to go, like my friend's house, hanging out, things like that. And it was at that time that I really made the decision, I don't want anything else to do with church. And the friends that I was hanging around with, some of them went to church and some of them didn't. But for the majority, they didn't. So it felt safe for me. Again, I was always seeking that safe place. And it was safe for me to be in a place where I didn't have to, you know, think about God, because my grandmother always wanted to have a relationship and wanted us children to have a relationship. And I didn't want that because I was angry with him at that time. So I always sought a place where I didn't have to be thinking about him.
Wow. And so then other things transpire in your life. And listeners, you got to get this book. You got to pick up When I Stopped Being Angry with God. And so by Robin M. Sample. And so this title and this book. So we fast forward years, and you have these journal entries that you probably sat down and looked back and said, okay, this can help somebody. When did you holistically see everything that you had gone through, all of your journal entries? You know, this is a book. When did you first kind of see that?
When I was, when I became an addictions counselor, because the people sitting across from me, my clients, they didn't look like me physically, but they looked like me emotionally. So what they said to me, they sounded like me. I kept hearing my life echoing back at me. And the two things that were the common denominator, I didn't know a lot about them, but what I did know a lot about was hurt and pain, and that was the common denominator, and that's what drove me to alcohol. So I didn't, you know, really care what their substance of choice was, but what I figured for myself was nobody wakes up with a five-year plan to be addicted to any substance. Something happens. Life happens, and then these substances come in. And that was my story, and I was very interested in finding out what brought them to a place of being addicted to any type of substance, because I knew what my story was. And I remember one particular client told me that I was a textbook counselor, and I said, what's a textbook counselor? And he said, you don't look like you know anything about drugs. You just kind of went to school, and you got this education, and you want to sit here and tell us what, you know, we need to do. So I said, well, let me just be real with you for a second.
Yeah.
So that's when I said I started drinking at 13, because the same hurt and pain that you feel, maybe not for the same reason, but I felt hurt and pain too. And I had to find some way to numb that out. And I found that in the bottom of a bottle, the bottom of a can. anywhere I could get some alcohol, it numbed me. So it numbed all of my emotions, all of my feelings, and I felt better. I finally felt good about myself when I was drinking because I didn't have to think about anything. I didn't have to feel anything. And my reality became my own sense of reality. I made it what I wanted it to be. So I didn't have to deal with the reality of life that was going on around me. So I was in my own world every time I had alcohol in my system. So that became my being at 13, and it just carried on into my mid-20s, and that just became who I was. So when I started talking to these people, I could really relate to what they were talking about because they had dealt with hurt, pain, abandonment, rejection, trauma, loss, grief, you know, everything, the same things that I had dealt with, they had dealt with. And I kept saying, I have all these journals, and I remember feeling the same way at these different ages. And I kept saying, you know what, I could write a book about my life with all the stuff I've been through. And I just kept saying it. And then one day it really manifested in my spirit. You know, I could really help someone because I want to do more than be a counselor. I want to motivate people. And that's where my dream started being birthed, that I wanted to be a motivational speaker.
My goodness, when I stopped being angry with God, listeners, pick that up, Amazon, also Robin, any other places that they can purchase the book?
Yes, it is available at Barnes & Noble, so it is there, and I do have also on my book launch page, they can go on there and order it from there as well, because there is a link on there that you can get it. It's still Amazon, but it is on my book launch page. And that's https://robin.rsample when I stop being angry with God.
All right, there you go. And some reviews, 5-star reviews from Amazon as well. Viola wrote, wow, this book is phenomenal. This is a great resource for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. I would recommend this to advocates working with victims as well. Another reviewer from Amazon, Roslyn, said, very good reading. The story held my attention throughout the whole entire book. So there you have it. There
wow,
you have
awesome.
It. And, yes, yes. And the book is broken down. A lot of interesting kind of titles throughout the book that's kind of walking through your life. But what would you say, and we certainly want people to pick up a copy of the book, if there is someone listening who's saying, you know, I'm kind of angry with God. I feel some of the things that you mentioned. I don't really see how he's really working in my life. I don't see how things are working out. What are some of the first initial things you would say to that person?
Well, the first thing I would say is this. If you're angry with him, that means you're already in a relationship with him. Because you can only be angry with someone that you have some sort of relationship with. And it took me a long while to figure that out because I didn't think that I had any connection with God at all. But to be that angry and be that passionate about anger, that means there's some sort of a connection. So there's a connection there. So I had to work backwards from that anger and start finding out why I was so angry. The same way we have to do with people. When we get angry with people, we have to figure out why. What happened? Something happened to cause that anger. So I had to start working backward. And in that, and it's in the chapter called Epiphany, is when I talk about that. And that's why it's called Epiphany, is when I started realizing that, you know what, God is actually doing something in my life, and he always has been. Because with all the things that have happened, with all of the alcohol dependence, the sexual assault, the domestic violence, the rejection, the abandonment, the low self-esteem, he always had his hands on me because it could have been a whole lot worse than what it was. Because in honesty, I should have been dead and gone with all the stuff that I've done and all the stuff that has happened to me, 3 suicide attempts, and it never worked. You know, I mean, a lot of times people do try to commit suicide and it doesn't work, but with 3 attempts, usually it happens.
My God.
And 3 attempts, and it never happened. So that means he had a calling on my life, but I didn't see that because I was too by my anger. So I had to figure out why was I so angry, and I had to start looking at myself, and I had to start looking at things from God's eye. And I kept hearing my grandmother's voice echoing in my head because she passed when I was 18, and I was really sorry when she did pass because I wish I had spent more time listening to her and talking to her. But the time that I did, I'm grateful for, because it did stay within my spirit. So I heard her voice echoing to me when she said, "You're going to need the Lord one day." And I figured out what she meant, because I did find out that I was going to need him one day. And that's in the chapter Epiphany, was when I sat down at my table and I really had a real conversation with God. And I started just asking him questions. Why did you bring me into the world knowing that I was going to look the way I look? Why did you know that I was going to be teased? I was going to be bullied. Why did you know that my relationship with my father was not going to be a good one until he was about ready to die? He passed away when I was 25, and we had the most heartfelt conversation like just months prior to that, and I needed so much more from my father, and then he took him. I was so angry about that, and I asked him those questions, and it wasn't until I stopped talking that I heard God speak to me, and that's when I finally heard him say to me, "This is not about you. It's not about you." And I didn't understand what he meant. I couldn't understand. It didn't come to me right away, but I kept hearing him say, "It's not about you," and I'm thinking, well, who is it about? And I kept asking. I started going to church, and, you know, I had a church home, but I had a church that I went to regularly, and a lot of the older ladies there, they embraced me, which I'm grateful for. And when I was there one day, one of the ladies saw me sitting in my pew doing the altar call, and I guess she saw me struggling, wanting to get up, but I couldn't get up, and she grabbed me gently by my hand, and she took me to the altar, and I had the most beautiful, open, heartfelt prayer with God. It was the conversation that really opened my relationship with him, where I started allowing him to work in my life, talk to me. I listened to him, and I started allowing him to guide my life at that point. And everything didn't change for the better, but everything started making more sense to me at that point. And I stopped. The anger didn't go away eventually, but it started to kind of go away. And eventually, over time, the anger went away, and I started looking more at me, trying to work on me, and not trying to blame God, because God brought me here, and he knew what he was doing. He didn't make a mistake. He never makes a mistake. Nothing catches him by surprise, and nothing happens by accident. And I had to understand that, but it took me 31 years to figure out that he does not make any mistakes, and he did this because he had a calling on my life. And it's not for me. And some of the things that I've gone through, I don't really understand why they happen or how they happen, but what I do understand is they've helped so many other people, and they're helping so many other people now. And that's the beauty of why I feel like now my life is not for me. My life is not my own. And God could have used anybody, me, and I'm grateful for that, because that meant everything I went through is for God's purpose, and that's a blessing within itself. And I can't complain, because God gave up his only son, and Jesus hung and died on a cross. That is pain that none of us have ever imagined. So why would I complain about the pain that I felt? That pain is minimal compared to what they did for me. So if my life is going to birth me being a motivational speaker for people who have gone through or are going through what I've dealt with, I count it all joy. I have no regrets at all, and I wouldn't change a thing about my life.
My God, listeners. Robin, listen, I am telling you what, you are ready for center stage. You are ready for center stage, because people are looking for authenticity. They're looking for realness, and they're looking for someone to say, "I was where you are." Just like that gentleman said, he thought you were reading out a textbook and just teaching, trying to give him guidance on something you read. But you are the VOE, as one of my pastors says, the voice of experience. And so experience has taught you. Yes, praise God. And may you continue to, you know, have doors open, and that this book really be an avenue for you to continue to get your message out to the world. If there's someone listening saying, oh, you're welcome. If there's someone listening saying, I want to have her come, you know, to my event or what have you, how can they contact you?
Well, they can contact me. I have LaTanya Boyd is my marketing and empowerment coach with the Rock Your Book family, and she schedules things for me, so they can get in touch with me through LaTanya, because she schedules everything for me, so she handles all of that for me. So they can definitely get in touch with LaTanya Boyd through Facebook or on her website, and the more than happy to schedule anything that I'm available for. I have a couple of things coming up right now, but if I'm available, I'll be more than happy to speak. I'll do book signings, whatever it is that I need to do to get my message across.
Amen. And listen, we have some shout-outs from Facebook. Tamika Hall, who designed your book cover, she
did a phenomenal job.
She's on Facebook saying, "You better say that, Robin. You speaking good." So she on Facebook testifying.
Thank you,
that's
Tamika.
Good. Awesome. And listen, LaTanya Boyd is over here on Facebook as well, just capturing some awesome quotes, real life quotes that you've been saying. And one thing I want to reiterate what she just said, if you're angry with God, that would mean you do have a relationship with God. So that's something that's pretty powerful there. That's pretty powerful. All right. And so the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence. And we want to know what continues to motivate you.
Well, there's two things that motivate me. Every morning I get up and I read a passage from this book called Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace in His Presence. And it's a passage every day that directs and guides my life, and then it directs me to Scripture. So I carry that with me throughout the day, and that motivates me, that inspires me to get closer to God, to be more like Him, to walk like Him, to talk like Him, to treat others the way that He would want me to treat others, and just, you know, start walking in His destiny that He has for me. And then the second thing that motivates me is being around people who are like-minded or who want to, you know, move forward and achieve goals and do things. When I see other people reaching goals or achieving goals or reaching for goals, that inspires, that motivates me, because that makes me want to push harder, especially when I see someone else that is doing something like what I'm doing or any type of goal. If you have anything that's going on in their life and they feel like they want to press forward and I can see that and be a part of it and witness it, that's motivation for me, because that lets me know I can keep going with what I'm doing too.
All right. Well said. Well said. Well, I'm telling you what, while you're getting your motivation, you're motivating other people. And it's just exciting to see. Oh, you're welcome, to see just the love shown, even when you were, you know, posting information about being on the show today, just so many reaching out, just showing love on Facebook. So hello, hello to all of those that are listening in the chat room, on the phone line.
That is such a blessing.
Showing some love.
I have truth.
Any other shout outs you want to give for people that have, you know, just kind of helped you get the book out and launch things off?
Yes, LaTanya and Tamika have been phenomenal. I mean, very instrumental in all of this. When I talked to Tamika and I told her that I had a dream of writing, she said, "Okay, send me what you have." I sent it to her, and the moment she read it, she called me. She said, "You have a book. This is it." And I was beside myself. I'm like, "Now?" She said, "Now. You are ready." Got forwarded to LaTanya. She said the same thing, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I couldn't believe I had gotten that immediate response. And then I have to look to my family, my children, because my daughter and my son, they were there with me during a lot of the stuff that happened. And my son remembers a lot of the trauma that I went through, but in spite of that, he still supports me, and I've written the book in a way that it's not so that it would hurt him. So I like the fact that he supports me. My daughter supports me. They go with me to my book signings. They're always there to help me. My husband, when he came into my life, he knew absolutely nothing about any of the things that I had gone through. So when I told him all of this, he still stood right by me. So, I mean,
I'm just
blessed to have him there. My church family, I mean, my pastor, Reverend Dana Porter Ashton, she's behind me. I've had two book signings at the church. I mean, she's just motivated me. My whole church family is behind me. My previous pastor, Reverend Sandra Brown Stanley, she motivated me. I mean, my mother, my father, I mean, everybody, my aunt. I have an Aunt Jean over in Salisbury. She's always motivated me. She's a behind-the-scenes type person, but she's always been a motivator for me. So basically my family and everybody who's come to support me now, Tasha Wilson, who's also an author, She was the one who gave me Tamika's information, and she did not hesitate to do that, and she's been supporting me ever since. I mean, I just have so many friends. I mean, there's Janine, there's Vanita. I mean, there's so many people. There's Wendy. I mean, we grew up together, and when she read the book, she said, I thought I knew you, but now I really know you. And I said, yes, you do. And she still, none of them ever stopped being my friend because now they know the real me. So that's phenomenal for me that my friends actually know who I am now and what I've been through, and they still love me like they did before. So that's a blessing to me.
Hey, man. I mean, shout out to your family, your children, your husband, your friends, all that entire support system. I am just, you know, I just think that just shows God's love, you know, how he allows people to love us and embrace us and support us. And that's just his love embedded in their lives to show us love. So we shout them out. That's awesome. All right. So one last time, tell listeners how they can get a copy of your book.
You can get a copy of my book by going on Amazon, or you can go to Barnes & Noble, or you can go to Book Launch and look up R Sample, and you will see When I Stop Being Angry with God.
All right. There you have it. There you have it. Robin, I'm so glad we had a chance to feature you on the show, and just wishing you much more continued success and all that you're doing really to give back and help people.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate this opportunity. It's such a blessing, and I do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, listeners, guess what? That's going to be a wrap for today's show. Check back with us next week. Always, as always, go to Charvette.com. You can jump over to Charvette.com and find out everything you need to know about all our upcoming shows and guests. We'll see you later. Bye.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you have been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Connect with her at Charvette.com. And until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. The Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Signing off.